Penguin Random House Audio presents Hallelujah Anyway, Rediscovering Mercy. This is the author, Anne Lamott. This is dedicated with much love and gratitude to the people who helped me so much this time. Father Jim Harbaugh, S.J., Father Tom Weston, S.J., Rabbi Margaret Holub, Tim Pfaff, Judith Rubin, Doug Foster, Jake Morrissey, Janine Reed, Neshama Franklin, the Reverend Veronica Goines, and to the people of St. Andrew Presbyterian Church, Marin City, California. Services at 11. Famous. The river is famous to the fish. The loud voice is famous to silence, which knew it would inherit the earth before anybody said so. The cat sleeping on the fence is famous to the birds watching him from the birdhouse. The tear is famous, briefly, to the cheek. The idea you carry close to your bosom is famous to your bosom. The boot is famous to the earth, more famous than the dress shoe, which is famous only to floors. The bent photograph is famous to the one who carries it, and not at all famous to the one who is pictured. I want to be famous to the shuffling men who smile while crossing streets, sticky children in grocery lines, famous as the one who smiled back. I want to be famous in the way a pulley is famous, or a buttonhole, not because it did anything spectacular, but because it never forgot what it could do. Naomi Shihab Nye. Chapter 1. The Mercy Workshop. There are times in our lives, scary, unsettling times, when we know that we need help or answers, but we're not sure what kind, or even what the problem or question is. We look and look, tearing apart our lives like we're searching for car keys on our couch, and we come up empty-handed. Then, when we're doing something stupid, like staring at the dog's mismatched paws, we stumble across what we need to find. Or even better, it finds us. It wasn't what we were looking or hoping for, which was usually advice, approval, an advantage, safety, or relief from pain. I was raised to seek or achieve them, but like everyone, I realized at some point that they do not bring lasting peace, relief, or uplift. This does not seem fair after a lifetime spent in their pursuit. Where, then, do I turn in these increasingly frightening days? Where do I look for answers when I'm afraid or confused or numb? To an elegant Japanese sage? A dream-dancing Sioux grandmother with a tinkling laugh? No. More often than not, the North Star that guides me through the darkness is the Old Testament prophet Micah. He must have looked like a complete stoner or a Game of Thrones extra and smelled like a goat. Yet nearly 3,000 years ago, he spoke the words that often remind me of my path and purpose. What doth God require of thee but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Oh, is that all? Justice, mercy, and humility? That's nice. Right off the bat, I can tell you that walk humbly with thy God is not going to happen anytime soon for me or my closest friends. Arrogance are us. My humility can kick your humility's butt. What Micah is talking about is grad school curriculum, while spiritually speaking, I remain in junior high school, superior and cringing at the same time. And to do justice may be a trick, since we all think we do this anyway. We think that if our values aren't the correct ones, we would have other ones, which would then be the correct ones. Otherwise, these words are both plain song and sublime. How can you not love mercy, kindness, compassion, forgiveness? It's like not loving dessert or cheese. If nothing makes people happier than service, especially to the poor, why not tap into the model of the Buddha, Jesus, or wavy gravy, the knowledge that if you do loving things, you'll have loving feelings? Here's how. We're so often rattled by lingering effects of trauma and paralyzing fear. At first glance, they seem inextricable. Trauma, which is stored differently in the brain than memory, seeps out of us as warnings of worse to come. Our self-centered fears whisper at us all day. our fear of exposure, of death, and that we will lose those we love most, that we will lose whatever advantage we hold, whatever meager gains we've made. We live in terror that our butts will show and people will run from us screaming. But let's say we believe that mercy and forgiveness are in fact foundational, innate, what we are grown from and can build on. Also, that they are hard to access because of these traumas and fears. What if we know that forgiveness and mercy are what heal and restore and define us, that they actually are the fragrance that the rose leaves on the heel that crushes it? So why today is it absolutely all I can do to extend mercy to myself for wanting to nip an annoying relative's heels like a river rat? Forget extending mercy to this relative who has so messed with me and my son. She doesn't even know she needs my mercy. She thinks she is fierce and superior, while I believe she secretly ate her first child. Horribly, she is perfectly fine. I'm the one who needs mercy, my mercy. The need for this, for my own motley mercy, underpinned most of my lifelong agitation, my separation from life and self. Just to hear the words mercy or merciful can transform the whole day, because as the old saying goes, the soul rejoices in hearing what it already knows. Something lights up in me. We know mercy is always our salvation. As we age, as our grandchildren go down the same dark streets that called to their parents, as the ice caps melt. But I wish it was something else. I wish it was being able to figure things out, at which I am very good, or to assign blame, at which I am better, or to convince people of the rightness of my ideas. I wish it was a political savior who believes the same things I believe, who possesses the force of great moral strength that, of course, agrees with my own deepest values. But no, hope of renewal and restoration is found in the merciful, fibrillating heart of the world. Mercy within us and outside us, all around us, silent, invisible mercy. Really? In the face of Rwanda, Nixon, ISIS, malaria, your father, and your wife's god-awful sister, and what children did to you or your own kids in the playground? Really? There has to be another way to feel free and fully alive. And anyway, I tried. I came into this world with mercy for nearly everyone, everywhere, and for all cats and dogs at the pound. A fat lot of good it did me. By 5 years old, I had migraines and the first signs of OCD. By about age 6, along with innocence and wonder and truth, I put away childish things. They said to, the people in charge of keeping me alive. I did. My parents, teachers, and the culture I grew up in showed me a drawer in which to stuff my merciful nature, because mercy made me look vulnerable and foolish, and it made me less productive. It was distracting to focus worried eyes on others instead of on homework and on poor dad, after all he had done for us, and on the prize of making the whole family look good. So I put it away, and I got it out only when it wouldn't threaten my grades, my safety, my parents' self-esteem, my child's life, or mine. I came here with a huge open heart, like a big sweet dog, and I still have one. But some days the only thing that can cheer me up is something bad happening to someone I hate, preferably if it went viral and the photo of the person showed hair loss and perhaps the lifelong underuse of sunscreen. My heart still leaps to see this. I often recall the New Yorker cartoon of one dog saying to the other, "It's not enough that we succeed. Cats must also fail." This is the human condition, that in the face of death, cats must lose. An open, merciful heart is a setup for pain, shame, and being mocked. We are not stupid. Welcome to vengeance world. The original wound was our parents' belief in punishment, spanking, shame, exile, the silent treatment, isolation. It was pretty convincing. I'm not sure I even recognize the ever-presence of mercy anymore, the divine and the human, the messy, crippled, transforming, heartbreaking, lovely, devastating presence of mercy. But I have come to believe that I am starving to death for it, and my world is too. Maybe it would be helpful to ask what we mean.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?